grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you on this Sunday. This is the last Sunday in the Christian year, the Reign of Christ Sunday, this Sunday that we come together to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have a few announcements we'd like to bring to your attention this morning. Just a reminder that immediately after worship today, there will be a joint meeting of the Board of Deacons and session. So please make sure you make your way in a timely fashion, but that will be immediately after worship this morning. Also to remind everyone that the annual reports are due, so please make sure that you you have them in to Donna as soon as possible. We will be having our congregational meeting, our annual congregational meeting, on December the 10th, immediately following worship. That would be a good time for everyone to be here. That will be, of course, a time for us to go over the operating budget and to do other important business. So that will be December the 10th, immediately after worship service. You have in your bulletin a flyer put out by the Education Committee. It is an invitation to join in reading through the Bible together as a church family. It will be beginning in January the 1st, and as it says, a group of only Presbyterian folks will plan to start reading the Bible day by day. So it sounds like a wonderful opportunity to make sure that the Bible is read within a 90-day period. So you can see Krista or Desiree if you have any questions about that. But that will begin on January the 1st. We are, the nominating committee is looking for people who want to serve as officers of the church. Very important responsibility, of course, but we are challenged to find people, especially for the session. We often have plenty of people who serve as deacons, but we also need people to serve as elders. And elders, as you are reminded, are those who are responsible for the governance of the congregation. So we're always in looking for people. If the Lord places it upon your heart that you would like to serve in that capacity, we need you. And are asking that you see the nominating committee, Desiree Kitt, and she'll give you more information about that. But we are in need of people who are willing to serve as elders and members of session for this congregation. Next Sunday will actually be the beginning of Advent, so please note that Advent season is upon us, the beginning of the Christian year, the new Christian year, and so we will be preparing to make our way with the Lord Jesus Christ as he is comes into our midst, as he is born, and as he makes himself available for the whole world to live as God's king. And so that will be again on next Sunday, December the 3rd. There are many other things going on here at Albany Presbyterian Church. Please make sure that you read your bulletin. Make sure, too, that you go to our website to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Albany Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. This is God's word for us today. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, our gospel reading this morning will come from the gospel of Matthew, as we've been reading out of Matthew's gospel all year. But we'll be reading from the gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, which is found on page 861 of your pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. We said earlier, this is the last Sunday in the Christian year, and it is Christ the King Sunday. And on this Sunday, we read this parable that we just heard, the parable of the Last Judgment. The parable reminds us, it is a reminder, that the world and history is not just a collection of random occurrences, but that it is going someplace. It is heading towards God's coming future, heading towards God's coming kingdom. And that is part of what our reading from Matthew is about this morning. It's about God's kingdom. And Jesus gives us this vision, this wonderful vision of the Son of Man sitting on a throne, and he is judging the nations. I don't know about you, but I've always been comforted by the notion of a judgment day, a day of judgment, a day when God will one day judge the world and judge the nations and put everything to right. A day when God will separate the sheep from the goats and give everyone what they deserve. I've always been comforted to know that no matter how bad things are currently, no matter what may be going on in the world, no matter what kind of injustice may be presently endured, that one day God is going to sort it all out. One day there is going to be a last judgment, where some are consigned to everlasting bliss and others to everlasting punishment. And that's what we're told in this story that Jesus tells this morning. I've always found it intriguing that the criteria of judgment is not any of the things that we might think it is. The thing that separates the sheep from the goats has nothing to do with the things that we often like to put into the forefront. It has nothing to do with making professions of faith. It has nothing to do with doctrinal beliefs. It has nothing to do with going down the aisle and accepting Jesus in our hearts. It has nothing to do with how many times we might pray. It has nothing to do with our regular attendance in church. It doesn't even have anything to do with how good we are. The only criterion that seems to matter in this story that Jesus tells is how Jesus is treated. How we treat the Son of Man. How we treat Jesus. And that makes sense to me, because that's the way I often judge people. I tend to judge people by how they treat me. The older I get, the less concerned I am about the outward appearances. What matters is how people treat me. That's the way I usually judge them. And I've discovered that some people, even those who are sometimes the most outwardly religious, can be some of the meanest people. Have you ever noticed that? And perhaps I'm making much ado about nothing, but the criteria that Jesus uses in the story this morning is how people have treated him. That's what he says to those who are gathered before him to be judged. He says, I was hungry, he tells the sheep, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was imprisoned and you visited me. And now welcome. Welcome, the kingdom of God is yours. You are invited into the kingdom. You have inherited the kingdom. Welcome. But he also addresses the goats, and he tells them that they too are being judged by how they treated him. I was hungry, he says, and you ignored my hunger. I was naked and you didn't care one bit. I was sick and you never cared about my disposition. I was imprisoned and that didn't bother you at all. In fact, you argued that we ought to throw away the key. And so Jesus says, you goats, you go, depart from me to eternal damnation. And both the sheep and the goats' judgment is contingent on how Jesus was treated. The interesting part for me, the really interesting part about this story that Jesus tells, this parable, is that neither the sheep or the goats remember ever seeing the Lord. That's what they say. Lord, when did we see you? We don't ever remember seeing you. Had we saw you, you know, we would have taken care of you. When did we see you? And Jesus tells them that when they did or did not show compassion and love and care to the least of these, they did or did not do it to him. I'm sure the goats may have protested a little bit and said, Lord, if we had only known it was you, had we known it was you, we would have done everything we could to have taken care of you. We would have fed you the best of meals. We would have given you the best of care. We would have visited you every day. Had we only known it was you, we would have made sure that we ministered to your needs. But that's just the point. Jesus doesn't want us to treat him better than we treat anyone else. He wants us to treat everyone, including the most vulnerable, in the same way that we would treat him. Several years ago, there was a story in the news. A woman was out walking in her neighborhood one evening, and she came by the well-tended grounds of the local Episcopal church there in her neighborhood, and she discovered that there was someone sleeping on the lawn. A vagrant sleeping on a bench on the lawn, and she became concerned, and she called the police. And the police came out, and they did their duty. They went to see about the man who was sleeping on the bench, the vagrant, the homeless man. But they discovered that when they got there, that he was not a flesh and blood human being, but was actually a sculpture, a bronze sculpture of a homeless man sleeping on a bench that had been donated to the church. And the sculpture was actually a sculpture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, a homeless Jesus sleeping on a bench with a cover over his head. The only way it was identified as Jesus was that his feet was dangling from the covers, and there were the pierce marks of the crucifixion on his feet. But it was a homeless Jesus sleeping on a bench. And so it was a little humorous story of a woman who called the police on Jesus. Humorous until we stop to consider all of the ways that we too sometimes fail to see the Lord in the humanity of others, including those others who are the most vulnerable and the most easy to forget, those that it's easy to despise and overlook. I know exactly how that woman felt. A few weeks back, early in the morning, I was coming over to the church from the mats and happened to notice right out in front of the sign, the church sign, that someone was sleeping on the church grounds, right under the sign, right under my name, Reverend Borge. I hurried, went and came into the church and then thought about the fact that I'd left the manse door unlocked, and so I ran back real quick to make sure that the door was locked again. And as I was making my way back out, whoever it was had stood up as I was coming out of the manse yard. He had stood up and was gathering his things and was leaving. And I didn't take the time to say, "Hey, Jesus, how are you doing? Hey, Jesus, how can I help you? Is there anything you might need this morning? Can I get you anything? How are you doing?" No, I felt the same way the woman felt who called the police on Jesus. I was concerned. Another consequence of the alcoholism and the homelessness in the community. Got to make sure I keep the manse door locked. Lord, when did we see you? You know, we're reminded that these are the people that Jesus hangs out with. These are the kind of people that Jesus hangs out with. As a church, I know, like me, many of you want to see Jesus. You pray for Jesus. You want Jesus to come by here. You want Jesus' presence to be felt in our midst. You want Jesus to become near. And how blessed we are. How blessed we are. This morning, Jesus was actually sleeping on our lawn. But we, or at least I didn't recognize him. To me, it was just a homeless alcoholic trying to get by in the cool of the night. Lots of people have problems with this story that Jesus tells. They're concerned about it in many ways. Some of them are concerned about it because it divides people between the sheep and goat, and we do enough dividing in our own world. We love to divide people and separate people and try to make judgments about people, about who's in and who's out. So some people are concerned about it for that reason. Other people are concerned about it because of its judgmental nature. We, again, like to be people who judge. We can easily fall into that disposition where we're constantly judging people. And some people are concerned about it because of the way it easily consigns some to heaven and some to everlasting damnation. I understand all of those concerns that people have. I remember as a boy reading some of the little tracts called "This Is Your Life," and it was a tract about a man who was living a proselyte lifestyle, and the very last words when he died was, you know, "Depart from me, go to the devil and his angels." And I never wanted that. Wanted to make sure that I didn't, that never happened to me, that those words were words that I would never hear. And yet, That little track never got to the real heart of what those words that Jesus uttered in this story actually meant. We need to remember that this is a parable that Jesus is telling. He's telling a parable. And like all of his parables, it has to do with the kingdom of God. He wants us to know something about the nature and the character of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is unlike all the other kingdoms. It's a different kind of kingdom. God's kingdom is not a kingdom of dominion and domination. God's kingdom is not a kingdom of violence. God's kingdom is not a kingdom where some are set over the others. God's kingdom is not a kingdom where people demand to be served. But God's kingdom is a kingdom where the last will be first. God's kingdom is a kingdom where to be great is to be the servant of all. God's kingdom is a kingdom where God has a special concern and place in God's heart for those who are vulnerable, for those who are marginalized, for those who are often overlooked and forgotten and unseen. I was reading an interesting article some time ago. It was about something called Christian nationalism. The article caught my attention because I'm a Christian and I love my country, and I want my country to be more Christ-like. But the more I was reading the article, the more concerned I became, because what was being advocated was not just that the country become more Christ-like, but the way to accomplish that was by grabbing of power. If we could just obtain more power, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we Christians were able to gain control, if we could have control again? If we had control again, then we could make sure that Christ ruled. If we had control again and had power again and could get all the right kind of people in high office, then we'd be able to have Christ to be king again if we just had the power. But I don't think that people understand that the nature of Christ's reign. I don't think that people quite understand what it means to say that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus reigns. It's not about power. It's not about trying to force people into a particular way. It's not anything that we might think it is when we think about kingship, when we think about authority, when we think about power. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of the cross. It's the power of self-giving sacrificial love. It's the power of mercy and compassion. When Jesus reigns, it's not a situation where the powerful and the rich are those who occupy the chief positions of society. When Jesus reigns, it means good news for the poor and the broken and the captive. When Jesus reigns, the people who are at the center of everything are not the people who are at the center of our world. When Jesus reigns, the people who are at the center of things are those like a little baby, like a little child. when Jesus reigns. It means that those who are often forgotten and overlooked and unseen will be at the forefront. When Jesus reigns, the blessed are not those who have the biggest house or the biggest bank account or the nicest car. When Jesus reigns, the blessed are the poor. When Jesus reigns, it'll be a totally different kind of world than the one we currently inhabit. Our parable this morning is an invitation for us to see. It's an invitation for us to see, as the Apostle Paul says, with the eyes of our hearts. Hearts that have been conditioned by the love and the grace of God. It's an invitation to see the Lord's reign, to see the Lord's kingdom, to see what it looks like, to see that it's a kingdom of compassion and mercy and love and justice. And here's the thing, it's not just a kingdom that comes to us after we die. It's not just a kingdom that we are invited into at the end of time, but it's a kingdom that we were invited into right now. We're invited to live into God's reign, into God's kingdom right now. By exhibiting our own acts of compassion and mercy and justice, and by opening our eyes so that we might truly see the divine reality of things. On this Sunday, we are told that Jesus is indeed Lord. He is the Lord of the whole world. That he is far above any other authority, all the other allegiances that we give ourselves over to, and you know what those allegiances are. You know the passions in which we play out our allegiances in this world. But we are told that whatever our allegiances are this morning, that Jesus is the true Lord of the world. He is the true King. But it's a different kind of kingdom. It's a different kind of reality, with different kind of values. But we're invited to see it. Can you see it this morning? Can you see Jesus? Can you see his reign this morning? Can you see Jesus in each other? Can you see Jesus in the most vulnerable? Can you see him in the poor? Can you see him in all of those who are crying out to be seen? Can you see him in mothers wailing in the Middle East because their children have been killed? Can you see him in the homeless people who congregate in the parks downtown? Can you see him in the courtrooms and in the jailhouses? Can you see him? Can you see Jesus? Can you see him? If you can see him in those places, then you can begin to see what the kingdom is all about. We're just a week away from Advent, just a week away of watching and waiting for the coming of the Lord. But we are reminded that what we are waiting for is a totally different kind of world. It is a world where God's compassion and mercy and justice is at the forefront. And that's the world that you and I belong to. And it's the world that we're invited into even now. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the reign of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who even now is at your right hand, who even now has all power and authority and dominion. But it's a different kind of dominion and a different kind of authority than what we're used to. The dominion and authority that Jesus wields is the dominion and authority of your sacrificial, self-giving love for all of us. Lord, we ask this morning that you help us to be agents of that kingdom. Help us to be faithful ambassadors of your love and compassion and justice in the world. Open our eyes so that we truly might be able to see. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.